الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله يا للسلام يا للسلام يا للفلاح يا للفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Show the roses straight, stand shoulder to shoulder. Istawa wa atadilu. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله إن شاء الله there'll be درس of hadith in English after the dua that is requested to participate. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد باب وجوب صوم رمضان وبيان فضل الصيام وما يتعلق به قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون إلى قوله تعالى شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر وأما الأحاديث فعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تبارك وتعالى كل عمل ابن آدم له إلا الصيام فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به والصيام جنة فإذا كان يوم صوم أحدكم فلا يرفث ولا يصخب فإن سابه أحد أو قاتله فليقل إني صائم والذي نفس محمد بيده لخلوف فم الصائم أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك للصائم فرحتان يفرحهما إذا أفطر فرح بفطره وإذا لقي ربه فرح بصومه متفق عليه. All praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has allowed us to witness this blessed month of Ramadan, this great month which is full of blessings, which is full of barakah, this great month in which all of our actions, the reward is multiplied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala minimum 70 times as mentioned in the hadith. But the word 70, as we've heard many times before in Arabic, is used for exaggeration. For when something is multiplied immensely, like how in English we'd say 1,000 times, you know, it's 1,000 times better. We don't necessarily mean 1,000, but we mean that it's much, much better. In a similar way, in the Arabic language, the word 70 sometimes is used to signify a great amount. So 70 is the basic minimum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاء. Depending on the person's niyyah, his intention, and the ikhlas, and the way they carry that action out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's khazana and his treasures are limitless. He will give according to his own treasures, which we know are unlimited. So this hadith which we recited is from the book of Riyadu Salihin, which is the book of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh was born in Damascus in Syria, in Nawa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him an amazing understanding of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of all the various topics of Islam. And he lived a very ascetic life full of zuhud and abstinence from the world. And he passed away in a young age. And he passed away without even having getting married. And he devoted his life solely. And this is the predominant view in the Shafi'i school of fiqh, that if a person has the ability, they should free. And التخلي لنفل العبادة أفضل من الاشتغال بالنكاح. That in the Shafi'i, according to Imam Shafi'i, if a person has the ability to not get married and he doesn't fear himself for himself that he will fall into sin, then it is the predominant opinion of Imam Shafi'i that it is better for him to devote his life to knowledge. Obviously, in the day and age that we live in today, if a person was to try and adopt this, Allah forbid, he would fall into much more sins. That's why the advice of the scholars is always that a person should, and it is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a person should get married and fulfill his desires in the halal way. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi's book Riyadu Salihin is a very famous book, and it is widely mentioned that after the noble Quran, that this is possibly the most published book, Riyadu Salihin, which means the garden of the righteous. The garden of the righteous. So it's mentioned that it's one of the most published books. And you will find this, especially in the Arab world, in every home, in every masjid. And it is also taught in the Dars Nidami syllabus, which is taught in the madrasas, which is taught in the Darul Ulooms. And it's a very simple book. Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has combined many ahadith with virtues of which, with ayat of the Quran, and he's put them in different topics. And one can think that there's many, many books. Why is this book so accepted in the world? So this is what the scholars mentioned, because of the ikhlas, because of the sincerity of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh, because of his devotion to knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this work, and it is now found widely throughout the whole world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at first, this is the chapter on wujubi sawm Ramadan, on the fardiyah of the sawm of Ramadan, the fasting of the month of Ramadan, how it's fard. And wabayani fadli siyam wa ma yata'allaqu bihi. And also it will mention in this chapter the virtues of fasting in the month of Ramadan and what is things which are related to that topic. So he begins the chapter by mentioning the ayah of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. O believers, fasting has been ordained upon you like it was ordained upon the people before you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is making it easy for us. When, for example, we say to our child that, you know, you have to wake up at 7 a.m. for school. Now the child finds it very difficult. Why am I having to do this? You know, mom and dad, mom, she gets to sleep till 10 o'clock. Dad, he goes to work. You know, but if we give them an example, look, your brother Muhammad, he also has to get up. So now when the burden is shared, it becomes easy for us. Like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, fasting was not exclusively for you. Rather, fasting was also on the nations before you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the main purpose
كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. And what is the purpose of this fasting? لعلكم تتقون. In order that you may attain taqwa. In order that we may attain the God consciousness, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the purpose of fasting. Many of the times we are asked by non-Muslim colleagues or other Muslims even, what is the purpose of fasting? Many of the times this answer is given, that we are fasting so that we empathize with the poor. We sympathize with the poor, that they also are hungry. Okay, this is one of the wisdoms of fasting, one of the benefits, but it's not the essential purpose of fasting. The essential purpose of fasting, which the answer we should give, is that so that we get closer to God, we get closer to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We stay away from our physical desires for a short while, those desires which we share with the animals, the desires of food, of drink, of cohabitation, these desires which we share with all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we take a break from these desires, when we make that which is normally halal, food, drink, engaging with in relations with one's spouse, these are normally rewardable actions if it's done correctly. But when a person stays away from this also for a short amount of time, they develop the taqwa and the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the meaning of taqwa? Taqwa is to create a barrier between us and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of the times the word taqwa is described as fear. But in English, English is a very it's a very narrow language compared to Arabic. You know, it's mentioned recently, you know, the number of words in the English language compared to Arabic, you know, there was a vast amount of difference. So the word fear is not the direct translation of taqwa. Fear, you fear something is going to attack you. You fear a dog on the street, it might bite me. You know, we don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same way. We fear Allah in a way that a child fears displeasing their father. You know, we love someone, we fear to displease them. This is the way we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked another sahabi by the name of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what is the meaning of taqwa? Sayyidina Umar asked Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, who is known as the Qari and the reciter of this ummah, what is the meaning of taqwa? And this was the amazing quality of the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that no matter their position, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, one of the greatest positions in Islam, yet they would not be shy to learn from the people. They would not be shy to seek knowledge. At every moment they would take this opportunity to learn more about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, unfortunately, we think that we've done a bit of madrasa, or we acquired a bit of knowledge, we have a bit of inspiration, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the right track. Now we think that it's fine. You know, I don't need to sit at the feet of the scholars. I have enough knowledge. Allah protect us from this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that one of the hunger that a person has of knowledge, thirst of knowledge, this can never be satiated until a person reaches his grave. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us this love for the knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is such a great status, yet he's asking Ubay ibn Ka'b, "O Ubay, explain to me what taqwa is. What is taqwa?" Sayyidina Ubay gives a very beautiful answer. He explains it to him by way of example. He mentions to Sayyidina Umar, "Hal mararta tariqan dha shawkin?" Have you ever walked on a thorny path, on a path in which thorns are surrounded from both sides? So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, "Yes, many times I've walked on thorny paths." So Sayyidina Ubay radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked Umar radiallahu anhu, "What did you do in that instance when you had to walk on a path where there were thorns on both sides?" Sayyidina Umar said that shammartu wajtahadtu, that I would ensure that my clothing is close to my body. I would protect my clothing, bring it close to my body, and I would try my hardest to avoid the thorns. So Sayyidina Ubay radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, فَذَاكَ التَّقْوَى. And this is taqwa. And we try our utmost. We make a barrier between everything. The thorns are the disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The thorn of sin, you know, the thorns of lying, cheating, swearing, doing every disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We try our hardest to protect ourselves. And then we walk, we avoid, we take every barrier possible. And then we make the greatest of effort to stay away from these things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants from us that in this month of Ramadan, we achieve taqwa, we achieve Allah consciousness, we achieve this reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. And when this reality has dawned upon us, then to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become difficult. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all give us all this concept of taqwa. So this hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he starts this chapter by mentioning this hadith, which is a very beautiful hadith. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تبارك وتعالى. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah says. Anybody can remember what this type of hadith is called, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah says something? Anybody? Let's make this interactive, inshallah. Hadith Qudsi, ji mashallah. So Hadith Qudsi, one of the names of this, so this is a type of hadith which is called Hadith Qudsi, which is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the tongue of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's not the Qur'an, it's not recited, but it's the word of Allah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah says, كُلُّ عَمَلِ ابْنِ آدَمَ لَهُ إِلَّا الصِّيَامِ. Every action of the son of Adam is for him, except for fasting. إِلَّا الصِّيَامِ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Except for fasting, for it is only for me, and I myself will give the reward for fasting. So all of the actions being for us, what does this mean? That all of the actions that we do in this world, all of the good actions, salah, zakah, hajj, we ourselves will get the reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the reward. But the action of fasting, Allah says, إِلَّا الصِّيَامْ فَإِنَّهُ لِي. Except for fasting, it can only be for me. So some of the scholars have mentioned that this exclusivity of fasting is because salah, zakah, hajj, all of these actions, we could be doing it for show. Is it possible that we are coming for salah because our parents, if we don't come to the masjid for salah, they will take away our PlayStation, or they will not let us out to play? It's possible that we are coming for salah so that we can show our teacher. Allah protect us from this. We should only be doing actions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's possible a person is giving in charity so that he is famous, that he is such a so-and-so, is so generous. It's possible for all of these actions. But fasting is such an action which can only be done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because nobody knows. A person is fasting if he wants. He can go in the fridge when nobody's looking, eat something. This is not advice, you know. Let's not do this, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But if we really, really wanted to, when nobody's watching, when we're making wudu on a really hot day, we don't feel the fast really here. But in the hot countries, the majority of the fast is felt in the heat when we can't drink water. So when we're doing wudu, we could quickly gulp that water down without anybody knowing. But out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of understanding this is the hukam of my Allah, that for these few hours I have been asked to stay away from food and drink. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this action of fasting so much. It's mentioned in the other hadith, يَدَعُ طَعَامَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي, that he leaves behind his food, his drink, his desires for me. لِذَلِكَ الصَّوْمُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. For this reason, fasting is for me, and I myself will give the reward of fasting. So this action of fasting is so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He Himself will give the reward. وَالصِّيَامُ جُنَّةٌ, and fasting is a shield. Fasting is a shield. It protects man from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've seen it ourselves. The more satiated we are on average days, when we eat to our fill, we feel lazy. When we've had a big meal, and then we struggle to get up for salah. We struggle to do any action of deen. Why? Because we are full to our stomach. But when a person is fasting, then he's away from his desires. There's so many health benefits as well now they are discovering. Yes, these will all come, especially, but maybe not for us when we break our fast with tons of fried food. Allah, this is the barakah of the Gujaratis, mashallah. But still, we can see that there is some benefits of fasting, the health benefits. But along with that, the Prophet ﷺ is saying it's a shield for man. It's a shield, it protects a man from indulging in further sins. Also in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when encouraging the young people to get married, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that ya ma'shar al-shabab man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. That, oh young people, who has the ability, let him get married. Let him get married, let him not delay in marriage. So this is an advice from our scholars, that when our children are of marriageable age, we should not prevent them. Today's zina has become so easy. A person can go on an app, a person can speak to someone on the street, and so easily a person can fall into zina. But yet, when our children want to get married, what do we say to them? No, you need to have, you know, a house first. You need to get, you need to be have a secure job first. Yes, this is important, but we should have reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see maturity in our children, inshallah, get them married. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, but those of you who cannot get married at the moment, فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءُ, then let them stick, hold fast to fasting, because fasting is a shield. Fasting will protect a person. So fasting teaches us and protects us from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ صَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثُ وَلَا يَسْخَبُ. When one of you are fasting, let him not indulge in useless talk. Let him not indulge in offending talk. وَلَا يَسْخَبُ. Let him not raise his voice. Let him not scream and shout. So in one of the meanings of the word rafath, it's also mentioned in Hajj, that it is permissible for a man, you know, with his wife to have certain type of speech which is not permissible with other people. But in while a person's fasting, this should also be avoided, because this will lead to increasing the desires which can lead a person to break their fast. So for this reason, to indulge in, you know, talk regarding of this nature with a person's wife, we should avoid this as well. وَلَا يَسْخَبْ. And let us not raise our voices and shout and scream. Let us not quarrel with the people while we are fasting. Unfortunately, we see that when we are, although fasting has its opposite effect on us, especially at this time on the roads, we know just before iftar time, this is the worst time to be on the roads. I don't know about here, but in Highfields, especially mere roadside where there's two cars, you know, you go try to drive at this time, everyone's hungry. Everyone wants to get home for their lovely bhajiyas and samosas and food. So nobody will give anyone way. And unfortunately, because of a person is fasting, he sees this as an excuse to be angry. That, oh, I've not eaten anything, and you know, this is happening. Rather, fasting should teach us patience. Fasting, we are staying away from food and drink. So this should create in us a desire and a ability to have to be patient on things which go against the nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all sabr and patience. And فَإِنْ سَابَّهُ أَحَدٌ أَوْ قَاتَلَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. Perchance if somebody was to start an argument with us, somebody was to curse us, then say, إِنِّي صَائِمٌ, I am fasting. Ulama mentioned that we should say this to ourselves, because sometimes you say to the onlooker who is angry, they might get even more angry. So say to yourself, I'm fasting, calm, and don't reply to the person. وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes qasam, an oath, that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَخُلُوفُ فَمِ الصَّائِمِ أَتْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. That the smell from the mouth of the fasting person is more beloved to Allah than this fragrance of musk. The smell from the mouth of the fasting person is more beloved to Allah than the fragrance of musk. You know, when a person is fasting because of the stomach being empty, then, you know, naturally a smell arises from the mouth. But in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although it may be displeasing to the people on the earth, because this is done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this smell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the smell more than the smell of musk. And as some ulama mentioned, that on the day of Qiyamah, because of fasting, Allah will replace this smell with the smell of musk. When a person is beloved to us, then even those things which are displeasing naturally become beloved to us. Like the famous poet Layla, you know, he would kiss the walls and would say, Layla has walked on this, the famous poet Majnoon. أمروا على الديار ديار ليلى أقبل ذا الجدار وذا الجدار ما حب الديار شغفنا قلبي ولكن حب من سكن الديار. That Layla has walked on these streets, so I'm kissing the walls of the street as well, because the love of the beloved is in the heart. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes our beloved, when we make sacrifice for Him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves our actions. لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ يَفْرَحُهُمَا. The fasting person has two times of happiness. إِذَا أَفْتَرَ فَرِحَ بِفِتْرِهِ. We can all attest to this. You know, the amount that we enjoy our food when we are fasting, we never enjoy this much food even if you go to the best restaurant. Simple food, because we're fasted, then the simple food, we enjoy it so much and we look forward to it so much. We don't enjoy even, you know, going to eat steak in a nice restaurant that much on a normal day. Why? Because it's an average thing, it's a normal thing. But on the day of fasting, simple food like dal and rice becomes such a form of happiness for us. إِذَا أَفْتَرَ فَرِحَ بِفِتْرِهِ. When we break our fast, we become happy with our breaking of the fast. وَإِذَا لَقِيَ رَبَّهُ فَرِحَ بِصَوْمِهِ. May Allah make this our condition, that when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be happy that we fasted. And we will see the rewards which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, the immense rewards which will be mentioned in the later hadith, being entered into the door of Rayyan, which is specifically for the people who fasted. When we will see these rewards, then we will be happy and we will wish that, oh Allah, I wish I did even more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to spend this month in the best way and to make this the best Ramadan of our lives, to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.